Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are on a good roll tonight here. Tremendous stuff there with Todd Ramos as we continue on. Couple of things here. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. On the Horn in Austin, Texas, is our sister show, also brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, Daspit Law Austin. We'll have Josh Wolf, the new coach of Austin FC. So interesting to get Josh's take on where Austin FC right now is and how they are positioned from the standpoint of scouting right now, which I'm sure is pretty challenging for them because of the different world that we're in. There's some stuff that's come out by a nice writer up there named Chris Bills, who said that part of the plan was to originally begin signing players in June. So we'll see. But that's tomorrow night, Josh Wolf. Great stuff with Todd Ramos. Now we have another great guy coming on the show, and he's one of the great contributors of this show. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, joining us from Guadalajara, Mexico. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Great to have you on, Tom, and I think very timely now. First of all, before we get into anything, you taking care of your health, your family okay? That's the first thing I got to ask you.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, Glenn. Yeah, I mean, all as good as can be expected, you know, just following the quarantine and what the health authorities are telling us, really. I mean, I think that's all you can do.
For you, when you were at home, has it been a bit of a learning experience? It has for me, because it's made me do things differently. It's made me think differently. It's made me be a little bit more creative. What's it done for you, and what's it done for your writing?
No, it's weird, because it's actually like, you know, as a soccer writer, you don't really have much of a routine. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're watching games sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, and you know, over the weekend, it's kind of all, you know, you're watching games a lot of the weekend, and then, you know, in the weekdays, it's kind of mixed what you're doing, and sometimes you've got a lot of work, and then not as much. So, I don't know, it's been weird, because I've actually, like, it's like having a normal job. You know, you wake up at a certain time, and you kind of do your day, and then you can relax a bit more at night. So, it has been a bit different, definitely.
Fine beverage at night, Tom? I've been having a fine beverage at night.
Now and then, Glenn. Now and then, you know.
Well, we got to share a fine beverage after your last trip to Houston. That was a lot of fun, and it was great. It's always great seeing you come into our town, and you've done that now a lot of times with the Mexican national team. But let's get to the big story that I really want to get your information and your insight about, because I think you're going to add a lot to basically what I said, and I've kind of set up the whole MLS and Liga MX Super League and kind of some of the things that are going on, and the letter that Alejandro Iraragorri wrote. So first, I just want to ask you about him. How legit is he? There's a lot of things that tells me he's legit, but he's certainly come out here very aggressive with you know, this model of the future, and he's also kind of let us all know that soccer in Mexico, in his opinion, is in danger. What do you think of all this? How much of this is political?
Yeah, I mean, Iraragorri, obviously, he owns Santos and Santos Laguna and Atlas. He's somebody who is very worldly. You know, he's definitely got a perspective from outside of Mexico looking in. And so he does have a different mentality than some of the other owners and other people in Mexican soccer. And he has been one of the people kind of consistently talking about the US market, about MLS, about what league roommates can learn from MLS. And so it's not really, it wasn't a surprise that he came out and said, you know, and wrote what he did. But obviously all of this is linked into, you know, really, I don't think it's an overstatement to say it's one of the biggest news stories in Mexican, in the last few years of Mexican soccer, which is the suspension of promotion and relegation for 5 years, mm-hmm. which, you know, looking at it from the Liga MX MLS point of view, it is an absolute massive step. It's not definitive, but it's a massive step that Mexican soccer, that Liga MX is saying, look, you know, we used to be in the Libertadores, you know, we used to look south, but now we're looking north. We want to really create this this alliance and see, and basically see where it takes us. So I think, you know, that's how I read what is going on with promotion and relegation. But obviously there's a lot of kind of facets to what's happened over the last week or two.
So in that letter, Tom, from Iraragori, I mean this is not a suggestion. I mean he's pushing and saying basically we need to do this because Mexican soccer is not going to survive the way it is going now, and we need unified thinking. We need to come together. I mean, he's making a real push here. This isn't like a kind of a soft letdown here. He's being very, very aggressive. How is that being taken by the other owners in Liga MX?
Honestly, I think most of the owners kind of agree with him. I mean, the vote was split on kind of get on suspending promotion and relegation, but from what I've been hearing, it wasn't necessarily split because they didn't want to suspend it. It was also split because some of the owners didn't like the way that Liga MX clubs are now going to have to kind of fund the second division. They're going to give money each year to second division clubs to make sure that they've got at least a minimum kind of budget each season so they don't go bust because, you know, over the last 3 years, the second division in Mexico, the Ascenso, has gone from 18 clubs to 12. So it's been a disaster. The division has been a disaster. And so, you know, basically they've kind of used this crisis and to basically say, look, we need to do something about it. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the, you know, the Liga MX MLS, I mean, I don't know. I just feel, Glenn, I don't know from what you've heard as well, because obviously, you know, you speak to a lot of people in the United States and within MLS, but from what I've heard, it's like, it's not like next year there's going to be suddenly this North American Super League, but very definitely all sides are kind of working towards strengthening this alliance step by step, you know, League Cup, Campeones Cup, All-Stars game, possibly interleague play further down the line. And then if everything comes together and that is a success, then I think they'll look very seriously at a kind of a more united, more aligned league, although I don't think it would ever be a full merger.
You don't think there'll ever be a full merger? You don't think there'll be a Super League above Liga MX and Major League Soccer like some are proposing?
It's difficult. It's hard to see. You know, I think it's hard to get your head around how it would work. But what I'm saying is, you know, like the Major League Baseball model, where you've got the American League and the National League, and, you know, those guys didn't, you know, obviously they have the World Series, but they didn't play Interleague until 1997. And so I think MLS and Liga MX are kind of, they're looking at that as you know, how can we can remain to a certain degree independent. You know, it's not like, when I say I don't think a merger could happen, I don't think Liga MX is going to go, okay, we're going to have designated players, we're going to have TAM, we're going to have homegrown rule, you know, all the kind of restrictions that MLS has. I don't think Liga MX needs to buy, you know, collective TV rights, the sponsorship deals. I don't think it has to be the same. They can remain independent, but still play each other within a kind of overriding structure, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, and listen, you're bringing up legitimate points here because the leagues are run very, very differently, but there is obviously things about MLS that you know, those in Mexico now see very attractive when it comes to the financial side of it. And look, the money trail is there. I don't think there's any question. So maybe a Super League, you know, the MLS teams still have to operate under the same rules as they are, or if those rules progress, and the Mexican League puts their rosters together in the same way. Maybe that stuff, like you say, doesn't have to merge. But again, what I'm hearing is the Super League above, it's select Mexican League teams and MLS teams, and then below it is MLS and Liga MX domestically still running with the rest of the teams, with two potentially being promoted. And these are all things that are just kind of speculation. But, you know, when you kind of think of it, you go, well, maybe that will work. Rights, all this other stuff. There's so much money to be made.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you get the cream of the crop. I mean, you get the cream of the MLS clubs, the ones that are, you know, really putting money into it, you know, going out and buying massive big-name players, and the same on the Liga MX side, to be honest, because, you know, it's not like every club is actually, you know, doing amazing things in terms of how they're run. But the only thing that I think the problem there is, and I'm looking at this more from the kind of Mexican side, is I don't understand how the Liga MX clubs would agree, for example, for, you know, say Chivas and Atlas are in separate leagues, or Tigres and Monterrey, or even America Chivas, so you don't even have a Clásico Nacional.
So you lose those rivalries.
I don't know how people would get their head around. I'm talking about fans and also owners as well. I just don't think in Mexico that would pass. You know, I think the Mexican footballers, you know, it's proved flexible. They changed the rules a lot. You know, they've just changed the relegation system, which, you know, let's not kind of put down how big a deal that is. I mean, what's happened this week is, you know, for a league as historic as the Mexican League, with, you know, that's gone through so much, to kind of make this step towards the United States, towards MLS, is absolutely huge. It's for me a big first step, and obviously we'll see where it takes us. But I don't think there's any kind of set structure yet. I think it's still a case of Liga MX and MLS are obviously determined about the League's Cup. They need that to work first. And then, like I said, I think possibly interleague play after that. But I think the next step is something that they're just going to have to brainstorm. I don't think that there is, as we speak right now, a plan of how it could necessarily work. Although, obviously, they will be throwing around ideas.
He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. He's a tremendous writer. He's very up on everything. He's also on Twitter at Mexico World Cup. By the way, Major League Soccer has been known to be pretty flexible with its rules over the years too. I just thought I would tell you that, Tom, because I know you probably don't know that, but I'm just being a little sarcastic here. Okay, so the next thing I would say to you is this. Is this pridefully tough for the Mexican fan, and maybe even some of the Mexican owners, to kind of swallow that, hey, you know, we're trying to align ourselves more with the United States and MLS, and, you know, who's the U.S. to be telling Mexico about soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely two, you know, kind of polar sides to that, and because I think the Liga MX owners, they get it. I think the Liga MX itself completely gets it. I mean, most of the people who run the Mexican clubs are more business people than kind of soccer people. I mean, they get the bottom line. They get that the money's in the States. They get that the economy is very different up there, you know, the biggest economy in the world. And they know that they're on the doorstep of that with already a massive amount of fans. It's kind of a market on your doorstep that's already there. But I do think that the problem is in the average Mexican fan. I think mainly in Mexico, but in part in the United States as well. I think the criticism that you hear pretty much all the time is, why are we associating ourselves with a league that is inferior? Because obviously, you know, you go to the CONCACAF Champions League, and I think it's now, you know, 15 consecutive times that Liga MX clubs have won the tournament.
Did you have to remind us of that, Tom? Did you have to remind us of that?
But I mean, it's very difficult. It's difficult to sell to the fan, look, our future is better with MLS because, you know, they've got a great business model and they've been able to attract investment. I mean, the average fan doesn't care about that. You know what I mean? The average fan, you know, cares about what's going on in the field and the bragging rights, and I think that's the problem. There's still kind of, I'd say the majority of people would prefer to kind of look south and look towards the Copa Libertadores, although, you know, I really have my doubts about, you know, the future of you know, South American soccer in terms of how strong that's going to be in, you know, in terms of the leagues. I mean, I think they're always going to produce really good players, but I think we've seen Argentine clubs over the last 20, 30 years sell young players progressively at an earlier age. And so, I don't know, so it's different. There's a business side, and then there's the, you know, the fancies, the soccer side, and says, why are we associating ourselves with a league that's kind of inferior?
Well, because of a lot of the things you just said, and there is solidarity there. There's nobody in MLS who's not going to get paid when it comes to being a player. I mean, prior to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that stability is there. We know that paychecks have not always gone through for all Mexican clubs, and there is a lot of instability in South America and Central America. So, Tom, this is great stuff. We're going to get you on again soon, hopefully, if we can, to keep up on this story, because as you said, this is the biggest story going on right now. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. I want you to stay safe, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Yes, definitely. Speak soon.
All right. He's the one and only Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. Heaven, Psychedelic Furs. Beautiful song. Break.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.